Well, there's a beautiful month of November dedicated to the souls in purgatory, and we pray to the saints and our Lord to help all of us on our way. And two saints that we can pray today, the thing that they have in common is they loved our Lord. Julie Ondurko is joining us today to tell us about today's saint, Saint Hubert and Saint Martin de Porres. Good morning, Julie. Thanks for being with us on the Morning Blend.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk about these two saints. I love them both.
Well, Julie, in fact, we were talking, you were with us for our Fall Share-a-thon, and I laughed and said, for Julie Ondurko, it is a tie for her favorite saint between all of them. You love all of the saints because you spent so much time getting to know them by reading about their lives and incorporating their intentions into your own life. And you share that with us on your show, Your Next Mission from God. Now, we have two saints that we're going to talk about on today's show. One maybe a little less known, and I would say that would be Saint Hubert as compared to Saint Martin de Porres. But both of them loved our Lord, and they are great models for us to get to heaven. So first, Julie, tell us a little bit about Saint Hubert.
Well, St. Hubert is lesser known. He was born like 656, somewhere around there. So he's an early saint in France or Belgium area, okay? But this is the deal about St. Hubert that's so interesting, is that he was a nobleman and he had a lovely wife and they had a good marriage. Everything was wonderful, but she died during childbirth and their son survived, okay? But what happened to Hubert is that, like so many people, you've heard, oh, God didn't answer my prayers, so I turn my back on him, or I'm not going to believe him, or I'm going to turn away from his ways. And that's what St. Hubert did, because his natural inclination was the outdoors, and he loved to hunt, and he loved dogs, and so when his wife died, besides the care of his son, he did spend his time on the outdoors, and he gave up his Christian practices and his Christian life. And the story is this. So it's Good Friday. He's out. Okay, so of course it's, you know, there's no firearms yet in this time. He's using a bow and arrow, right? It's then. So lots of stalking, lots of hunting, and he's going after something called a red deer or a stag in Europe. And these animals, when you see the name deer, you think of deer, like we have a white tail and mule deer here. No, they look like an elk. They've got a big rack. They're big, they're massive. And so he stops this big red deer, and it's Good Friday. Everybody else is observing Good Friday because that's the most solemn day of the year, the day that Jesus, you know, beats the devil for our souls, right? So this is not unthinkable for a Christian to be not observing Good Friday and go off and doing a hobby part-time, you know, hunting. But he's hunting this stag, and it turns. And when it turns, between its magnificent rack of antlers is hanging a glowing crucifix, and Jesus is on the cross in front of him. And a voice spoke, "Hubert, unless you turn to the Lord and lead a holy life, you shall quickly go down to hell." And he prostrates himself on the ground, and the voice tells him to go meet with a certain bishop. And he amends his life, and he gets back to living a Christian life. And what happens to Hubert is that he ends up becoming a bishop. And he is so well known for his preaching and his love of our Lord. And he's very well loved and popular, right? And an incredible thing about this, too, is that then his son also says yes to the Lord and becomes a priest and eventually will take his place when he dies as the bishop. It's very interesting how this kind of ran through the whole family, and his son was very pious and holy as well. Interesting. So he had, you know, he had the situation about that. And But he always did love the outdoors and hunting and dogs. He did. He preferred it to court, which is what he, before his wife died, they were high society, and he didn't really care for it that much. He'd rather be out. But so anyway, he gave himself over to that when she died, and then had his reconversion and gave everything over to the Lord with the same passion that you go hunting. So he is the patron saint of hunters and the patron saint of dogs. And he had themes of conversion, humility, and stewardship of creation. So he kind of developed some of the stewardship of creation, like when you hunt, you must share the meat with the poor.
Sure,
You
okay.
must not shoot a doe with fawns. He had an early conservative thing about taking care of creation, and he promoted that all his life. And so I just think that that's so crazy that he's out on Good Friday and the Lord just appears to him where he's at
Wow.
and meets him where he's at. And, I understand this, Brenda. There's people who have been deeply hurt. They didn't get an answer to their prayers, and they want to turn away from the Lord in a hurt response. And that's what he did. But our Lord called him back, and he just was passionate about Jesus. It wasn't just that he had a fear of hell, even though Jesus was honest. The voice was like, you're toying with your soul here. We've got things out of order. We can get things out of order in our life. We can
Oh,
do that, whether,
absolutely.
as as a response to hurt or just the culture or just not knowing. Sometimes it's just ignorance, but we can put things out of order, and the Lord needs to be primary in our life and observing holy days and recognizing his great sacrifice on Good Friday is really an important thing to do.
And of course, recognizing in this story that our Lord is always with us, walking with us, and meeting us where we are to guide us back to holiness. Julie Onderko joining us today as we talk about a wonderful duo of saints today. Now, before we move on from Saint Hubert, there is a special connection between Saint Hubert and dogs. Of course, you said he is the patron saint of dogs. Special love for bloodhounds, apparently.
Oh, this is such a cool story. So Hubert, Saint Hubert, after he died, his body was transferred to a Benedictine monastery, and they changed the name to the Monastery of Saint Hubert. And these monks, these Benedictines, then began breeding, a breeding program for hunting dogs. So this kind of went along with Saint Hubert's love. And it was one of the first known deliberate breeding programs where they bred for temperament, the nose for scent and compatibility with the hunters. And that is the origin of the bloodhound. And we know that, monasteries, the monks and also the nuns, if they're cloistered, and sisters, if they're not, they've got to have a way of supporting themselves,
Sure.
right? And this was a way of these monks to support themselves, and they took inspiration from Saint Hubert, and they have his body there, and they developed an extraordinary breed of dog that is now used in search and rescue, but also, all these good things, compatibility and everything. And so yeah, that's why sometimes when you look up a picture of Saint Hubert, you look at Google it or whatever, often you'll see lots of creation around him. Or you might see the scene with the big stag, like looks like an elk with his antlers turned and the crucifix hanging in the middle, not a cross, but a crucifix. It was Good Friday. Or you might see him with the bow and arrow and a faithful hound by his side. And that is the origin of the bloodhound.
Oh, I think that is perfect. And what another beautiful example of how Saint Hubert was met by Christ on his way where he was. And we can look and see how those bloodhounds, well, they go out and find those who are lost as well. Julie Onderko joining us today. Her show is your next mission from God. Julie, we have gotten through one of our great saints for today, and I want to talk to you about the next. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue our conversation and begin to talk about St. Martin de Porres in our next half hour?
Absolutely.
And I am back this morning with our good friend Julie Ondurko. She is the host of Your Next Mission from God that you listen to right here at Mater Dei Radio. She's joining us today because we are celebrating a duo of great saints for our Catholic Church. Julie Ondurko is joining us in the second half to talk about another saint. Now, Julie, we had talked in our first half hour about Saint Hubert. Amazing story, maybe a saint that we know a little more about because of our conversation. But now we're going to move on to our second saint today, one that many more people would be familiar with, Saint Martin de Porres. Kind of tell us about his mission.
Well, Saint Martin de Porres is, well, there's so much to tell. I don't know how we're going to get it all in, but he's from Lima, Peru, and he was born in the 16th century in Lima, Peru, and he was half African-American, and because his mother had been a slave, and he was half Spanish, so because his father was a nobleman. And I think what's most notable about him is the poverty that he grew up in, because his father disowned him or didn't want him because he looked so African, right? His appearance was more African than Spanish, and he just wouldn't claim him as a son. And so, because he had not married his mother, right? But he could have claimed him as a son. So Martin starts out with what most of us call a father wound. And a lot of people have a father wound or a mother wound. It's a rejection of a parent. And that's a big, big deal. And you think about it, that can really be stifling to us. And it could have been for Martin too. However, he had a little sister, and even at a very young age, his mother did send him to the market with their pittance of money that she used for doing laundry and some housekeeping and to go get groceries for them, for the family. And he would always stop at the church and go in and pray. And this is when he started to really, as a young man, 4 or 5 years old, very, very young, would go into the church by himself and have these conversations where our Lord and Mother Mary would meet him. And this is like a mental prayer situation. He goes in there expecting to have a conversation with our Lord, and does. And so he's molded at a very young age to learn humility. Like you just, his humility was like, if people called him names, he'd say, well, yeah, you're right. That's that. I'm nothing but a mulatto dog. If somebody had called him a mulatto dog, yeah, I'm nothing but a mulatto dog, but the Lord loves me. It's like he just had a very young age, knew what was important. And it was that heavenly vision. He just had it. And so he just exuded the love of our Lord to people and to animals. And but his father then later said, you know what? I really do need to tend to my son. So when he started to become older, like what we would say of age, a mid-teenager, mm-hmm. he decides that he will have him apprenticed as a barber. So barbers in those days cut hair, but they also cut skin and stitched it. And they learned the art of healing and herbs and things like that. So he kind of threw himself into this and helped Martin as an apprentice. He was tending to people a lot. And what was happening is that people were really becoming healed through his intervention as an apprentice. And one day the master couldn't be in, and Martin was the only one. And somebody came in with huge wounds. They had been in a sword fight of some sort, and they didn't know if they should let this boy tend. And they decided they didn't really have a choice. And he tended him very well, very thoroughly. His knowledge surpassed his the tradesman who was teaching him the art of being a barber. And then from then on, people just sought him out and lots of healings went on. But he would always try to put an herb or something in it so that they wouldn't think that it was from him. You know, he would try to divert it, but it was from him. And it's funny because he too had this love for animals, for all creatures. He especially loved dogs. Animals could come to him for healing, and they would. Like a cat came and she needed healing, and he would tell the cat, okay, at the end of the day, when I'm back in my cell, come at this time, I'll dress your wound, and she would return faithfully. But if it was a dog, they could actually stay. They could actually stay in his room with them. And then he would talk to them and say, you know, now don't go back and go getting into fights anymore. You go back to your master. He just had this way with animals. And then the poor, he did fundraising for the poor. He tended them. He had the homeless. He just was this person who completely poured himself out. But he had this mystical side too. He'd get caught levitating in private, he thought. People would catch him, or the big bright light under the door, you know, like in the door would be locked, and they'd know something's going on in there. There were a lot of mystical signs with this Martin de Porres. And you know, when he was dying, somebody killed a rooster to make some kind of a poultice or a brew for him to heal him or whatever. And he lamented. He's like, that was a waste of life. I am dying. The Lord is taking me. And that rooster didn't have to be killed to save me because it's not going to help anyway. Interesting. He just was this great guy. And, you know, he is African American, a mixed race, you know, and just loved everybody. And he was a Dominican lay. Okay, so back in those days, I know this is a little side note, but this is amazing. The law, Peruvian law, not Dominican order law, but Peruvian law prevented anybody with a mixed race or being African American to join the order, believe it or not.
Wow.
They didn't allow it. And then eventually, you know, his piety, his holiness was so, could not be denied, that the Dominicans, God bless them, they said, well, that's the law, but we're going to let him into the order. And they let him in, and he was a brother, and he wore the habit, and that was his heart's desire.
Julian Durko joining us today in the second half of our discussion. We are talking about Saint Martin de Porres. Well, Julie, for those who have a devotion to Saint Martin de Porres, what is his patronage then, for the Universal Church?
Animals and the poor, mixed races and falsely accused people.
Wow. Okay, boy, that is quite a spread. So again, two wonderful saints that God gives us to model after and to that we can pray for and we can ask to intercede on our behalf. Julie, always a great morning when you join us. Thank you so much for being with us on this very special day to celebrate two very special saints.
It's a great day. November 3rd, a great day for these two saints, and I love them both.
Oh. Again, two more saints in a tie for first place of Julie's favorite saints. Again, Julie's show is your next mission from God, and you can find out more about lives of many, many saints. Just tune into her show, and you can find her podcasts at materdeiradio.com and on the Hail Mary Media app.